Okay, so always very difficult. What do you preach from? You're a visiting preacher. I never know what to choose because is it my agenda that I'm bringing? And I think the reason I chose tonight's passage is, first and foremost, one of the things I've been doing is developing Life Explored for prisons. So I've actually drawn up the first draft, and a guy in Scotland has just used the first session, and he's like, he was saying it was great, and I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord, that first... draft is looking good. Again, it's always difficult, isn't it? You know, you're developing materials for a specific audience. So I chose really session two from Life Explored. So there's just a couple of extracts from Life Explored and then my kind of looking at the text and kind of expounding it. Okay, so that's the reason. It's not my agenda. I want the text to be the agenda really of what we're listening to. Okay, so we've got an election on the 8th of June. Obviously, it was called very quickly, and the manifestos are being drawn up. Some manifestos are being leaked. promises are being made. You know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And really, all to win the vote from us. And one of the things I want to ask really is, can we really trust them to do what they're going to say? And I think the answer to that is always in retrospect to say, well, you said you're going to do this and you haven't done this, which is normally the pattern. And but really, more important than politics for us as Christians, I want to kind of ask this question this evening. Can we trust what God has to say? Can we trust the text that is before us this evening? Can we trust the whole of the Bible as God's absolute truth? So what I want to kind of suggest tonight is this. What comes to our minds when we read this text tonight? What comes to our minds when we read the Bible? Because I want to suggest that this is the most important thing for us as Christians. Will we trust what God has to say, what God has said here in Genesis 3, what God has revealed in the 66 books of the Bible? And will we seek to live it out so that we can know God and experience God? Little bit like the guy in the plane who's got a parachute and he's going to jump out whatever 1,000 feet that they jump out at. That skydiver has to put his trust totally in what? In that parachute. His life is invested in that parachute. And really, as Christians, our lives should be invested in the scriptures, in the 66 books of the Bible. So this evening, where do we stand on the Bible and what God has to say? Because really, it is a matter of life and death. That's the weight of it. It's a matter of life and death. Will we accept it? Will we reject it? Will we actually go, this is relevant for today? It's not some old text for old cultures. It's actually relevant for today, now, my life. Because as we look at this text this evening, for Adam and Eve, it's going to be a matter of life and death. That's the weight and gravity of it. It's going to affect the perfect relationship that they have with God in the perfect universe that he has created. It's a relationship of complete trust. And that is about to be broken. You know something? This is the extract from session one of Life Explored. They had a paradise of yes. And a single tree of no. So what will they do? Are they going to trust God's word? Because they are about to be put to the test here in chapter 3. And just as they were put to the test, we are always being put to the test with where do we stand when it comes to the revelation of God. And there's so much at stake here with their choice and the consequences of the decisions that they are going to make. And not only for them, but also for the rest of humanity. Their choice is actually playing out in our lives this evening. We feel the effects of what they are doing here in Genesis chapter 3. So, verse 1. Enter the serpent, the crafty serpent. So chapter 3, verse 1 says, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Very interesting. The Hebrew is nakash. That's the word for the serpent. Whatever form he takes, because there's a little bit of difference behind that, you can go and research that for yourself. Whatever form he takes, who is this serpent? Because the Bible tells us, as we read through the progressive revelation of the Bible, who the serpent is. So if we read Revelation 12:9, it tells us the great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to earth and his angels with him. So this verse in Revelation actually tells us who the serpent is. It's Satan, and he's fallen, and his angels have fallen with him. And the origin of sin and rebelling and rejecting God's authority, God's word, God's loving rule is first rejected in heaven. Before Eden, Satan has already rebelled and his angels with him. And we know that the scriptures tell us that there are irreversible eternal consequences for them. And that end for Satan and his angels is the lake of fire. And we know, what was it that happened within the heart of Satan? What happened with him? Well, we know that he wanted to be like God. So as we read Isaiah 14:14, he says, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And this is what got him cast out of heaven. So if he's getting kicked out, where's he going? He comes to earth. He's cast down to earth. And now Satan approaches Adam and Eve. And what does he do in verse 2? Verse 1, actually, what does he say? He said to the woman, did God really say? It's quite interesting because the serpent, when you kind of break down the nakash, talks about he speaks with an hiss. And that hiss, it's a disapproval of God. It's a disapproval of the authority of God. And he's disapproving of God's rule. And you know what? He wants Adam and Eve to do what he has done. Do what we have done is behind the move. Rebel against God here on earth. And he does it by this. Did God really say, you cannot trust this God? His word is not trustworthy. You can't trust him. Go against him. There are no consequences to this decision, to this choice, if you make it. That's what he's saying. And really, this is the enter of the first lie for humanity. The first lie that encountered Adam and Eve. Did God really say? And you know what he goes after? He goes after the command that God had said in chapter 2 to Adam, verses 16 and 17. And this is what it says. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die. It's a matter of life and death. So the single tree of no, Satan wants them to partake of. And you know what he's doing? If they take of it, it's his way to gain control of this earth. It's his way that he's going to take over and take control if he can get Adam and Eve to partake of this tree. If he gets them to go against God. Because here, the rest of humanity now hangs in the balance with this choice. So how does Eve respond to, did God really say? Well, we see in verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Do you know what? She knows the tree's out of bounds. So there's no excuse to say, I didn't know. She knows the consequences for partaking of this tree, for rejecting God's rule. And here they are both free to choose. And that's, in some sense, the dilemma that we are always faced with when it comes to who do we listen to? Where do we find our truth? The absolute. Because we live in that world, this world, wherever we go, whether you switch the TV on, whether you're listening to politicians, what is truth and what isn't truth? But here, with the scriptures, I want to suggest we have God's absolute truth. And the dilemma is, who are we listening to? Because if they partake, death is at stake now for both of them. Not only physical, but spiritual death. Separation and consequences for their actions. It's interesting that one of my things that I like to do is to go fishing. Don't get much chance of it since I've had children. But it's getting the right bait, isn't it? I don't know if anyone's into fishing, but you've got to get the right lure or you've got to get the right bait so that you can catch the fish. But the bait that Satan uses, isn't it? It's the lie. And we know, don't we, that Jesus exposes him, doesn't he? This whole kind of mission of Jesus, isn't it? One of the things he does, he exposes Satan. He exposes the evil one. We're singing it, wasn't we, in the song that we did tonight. And Jesus says in John 8:44, he talking about the truth of Satan. He's talking about humanity. Humanity without Christ. Those who don't have Christ. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. Where's the beginning? Right here. Genesis 3:1. Not holding to the truth. So he's rejected God. He's been kicked out. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And Jesus exposes what Satan is all about from the very beginning. So who will they believe, Adam and Eve? Who are they going to believe? Who are they going to trust at this juncture here in Genesis 3? God or Satan the liar? Trust God as the truth or rebel and reject God? So, more lies from Satan. Kind of fishing, let's change a bit of bait. Verse 4, what does he say to the woman? You will not surely die. Eternal life you will continue to have. You can have it. You will not die. Don't trust God. He's a liar. God is a liar. And then he says, God knows that your eyes will be opened. And you will become like him, knowing good and evil. God is stopping you becoming like God, becoming like him. God is mean-spirited. He doesn't want you to have that. So who are Adam and Eve going to trust? Verse 6. And this is the crash. This is what the Bible calls the fall. This is where it all comes crashing down. This is where paradise is lost. Verse 6. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And no excuse for the man here. She also gave some to her husband who was right there with her. So they now take from the single tree of no. They believe the lies. They've taken the bait. They partake of the tree. And it's interesting that on session one of Life Explored, talking about the glory of God, the goodness of God in session one, Blaise Pascal, he uses a quote. And this is what Blaise Pascal said. He says, we are like a cocktail of glory and garbage shaken up inside of us. That's the condition of us as humanity. Where we started out glorious, we've now become garbage and glory, all shaken up together like a cocktail. And isn't it interesting? It's almost like we are both good and evil. It's almost like we've become what that tree represented, both good and evil. So now they have to face the consequences of believing Satan by partaking. And what we learn here as we begin to kind of follow the thread of the Bible, as we go through it, God was trustworthy. God was right. His word was 100% trustworthy. I don't know if you ever meet many Christians like this. Sometimes when I go and speak or I'll be in a prison and guys are quizzing me and they're trying to kind of trip me up, and I say, look guys, I believe this Bible from the front cover to the back. And whatever the consequences are of that for my life, I will have to take that, but I believe it 100%. All of it. And some of them, they're astonished that I would believe the Bible. All of it. But I do. Because the longer that I've read it, the more that I see it's true. And I'm prepared to trust it, all of it. Because as we see, as we kind of like don't trust God, we go against God, we don't want to live out the way that God wants us to live, then there are the consequences for not doing that. Because now death is going to reign in the human race. Genesis chapter 5 plays it out. And what does it say? Then he died. And then he died. And then he died. And what all of us are going to face here? And we're going to die. And I love one of the hymns that you had up tonight. It was one of your readings about he gives us eternal life. So this body may die, but we're going to be given a new body, that we will live for eternity, that this is the grace and the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're all going to die because of the choice of Adam and Eve. Disease, sin, and death has now entered. And Satan knew right back then, as Corinthians describes, that the God of this age, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and he will do anything to stop people coming to Christ. He knew he was establishing his rule on earth, yes, under the sovereignty of God, which God allows him that short lease. But he did. He established it. But you know something? What was the promise? Your eyes will be opened. Their eyes weren't opened. They were closed. The God of this age blinds the minds of unbelievers. So their eyes weren't opened. They were blinded to the truth. And so are we, unless we're in Christ. We did become our own gods. But you know something? We became slaves to sin and Satan. And we live and feel these consequences today. And the world is a mess. You can only switch the TV on. You only got to go out the doors. You've only got to engage with this world. That it is a mess. And there's the one solution. That's why I love prison ministry. That's why I love doing Mark's gospel. That's why I love introducing people to Jesus. Because the only solution to the problem is Jesus. And I love it when he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way out of the mess that we find ourselves in today. But what will we do with him? One of the things I ask when I train, are we with Jesus? Do we reject, or are we going to listen? Are we going to want to live out what he says? Because one of the verses I've been challenged lately with, part of the training that I've been doing, is in Mark 4:24. And Jesus is talking about himself. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about putting the gospel, the light, on a lampstand, letting people hear the gospel, letting people hear the good news, heralding the good news, being servants and heralds for him. And this is what he says in them verses. It's quite challenging. He says, consider carefully what you hear. I don't know how you've heard tonight, what you've heard from God's word. But he's saying, consider carefully what you hear. He continued, what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Very challenging. And even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from them. So what will we do with what we've heard this evening? Is it truth? Or is it lies? I know where I stand. Will we listen to Jesus, or will we let it keep falling on deaf ears? Because for me, Genesis chapter 3 is truth. It's 100% trustworthy. And you can trust God and his word. So, as we approach the elections, you know something? God, for me, really is, and his word, the only one you can trust. Really, can we trust men and what they say? Because I know that if they're not in Christ, Jesus says, the devil is your father. So I'm always very careful when I listen to men. But for me, I can fully trust Jesus 100%. I can trust the 66 books of the Bible 100%. So Jesus really is a matter of life and death, because he said, didn't he, I come to bring life, life more abundantly. And he said it'd be like rivers of living water, didn't he? That it would flow through us and out of us.